When someone says that they have good news, it can be good for one person and not mean really much to another person. It might be the greatest news in the world for someone who has just found out that they are to inherit a large inheritance. Or when a young wife discovers that she is pregnant after being told that she would never be able to have a child. Is there news that is good for everyone? Yes, the greatest news in the world is the salvation in Christ. Being saved, being rescued, being forgiven, knowing that when you die, you will be made perfect and live eternally in the presence of God. Could there be anything more wonderful than this? News like this cannot be held back. Like ripples on a pond, the message of eternal life in Jesus Christ is leaving a wake of joy as it moves out from Jerusalem. Salvation has burst its banks and has now flooded into Samaria. And Philip has been evangelizing the people who lived in Samaria in Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. But we read that he is sent somewhere else. And he was intimately involved in the work in Samaria, and now he's called away. This may seem strange, but the Lord directs him to an unlikely place and an unlikely person. This passage helps us to see that God doesn't always do things in the same way. God is a God of variety in his perfections, and when it comes to displaying his saving grace and love to men and women, he does to all in all different ways, in all different conditions, in all walks of life. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch teaches us that the Lord has many ways to reach the lost with the message of the saving grace and love of Jesus Christ. Planned evangelism is good, but we should be ready to be open at any moment to opportunities, to people that God puts in our way. God puts us in the way of people that they may hear the greatest news in the world. And whenever we meet people, we should be ready to be used in ways that we never thought of before. How likely it was for Philip to think that he needed to leave his successful work in Samaria and go to a desert road and wait for further instructions. Let us be open to what the Lord is telling us at any time. Three things I want to look at tonight. The first is be ready to follow God's leading. Be ready to follow God's leading. Secondly, to be ready to impart God's word. And thirdly, to be ready to enjoy God's blessing. Well, be ready to follow God's leading. In verses 26 and 27, we read that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. An angel speaks directly to Philip, and the instructions are given. He says, "Go to the south to a road in the desert." Philip arose and went, not knowing why. What could this possibly mean? Why would the Lord tell Philip to leave Samaria? Philip was at the center of the work there. And Philip isn't really told. Maybe he raised up others to take on the work in his place. We don't know. He hears the voice of the Lord and off he goes. Have there been circumstances in your life that have changed your direction so that you can't explain it? Or when some certain people come into, why they come into your lives, certain people. Or when some member of your family that you really care for becomes ill and changes your plans. The Lord changes your direction and you just have to trust him that the Lord knows what he's doing and he'll make it plain in the end. How does God lead us then? He leads us primarily through the means of his word. Of course, there's no further revelation given today because the Bible is complete. That being so, the Lord no longer speaks through angels, but through the illumination of the Holy Spirit and as his word is read and thought through. A Christian will have a submissive attitude and will pray and look for the Lord for guidance. And if you're a Christian, we are told we need to be ready where God directs, to go where God directs. When you call to mind the teaching of God's word, you will be better prepared to act when the situation presents itself to you. This is what faith is about, believing first and then doing. So we do not wonder that Philip was obedient. He was like Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. As Philip is making his way on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, he comes to understand why he was sent. What did Philip find? There were unique circumstances. The angel of the Lord told Philip where to go. And he obeyed, and up ahead, on the road, he sees a chariot. We're told that the man inside was an Ethiopian. This man is not a Jew, he's not a Samaritan, he's not a Roman, or a Greek. He comes from Ethiopia, and we're not told his name. This eunuch was the chancellor of the exchequer. That was his job, a high-ranking official, a very influential man. But more than all of this, he may have been a proselyte, a non-Jewish follower of Judaism. We know this because we are told that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He went up for the feast days. He seems to be very interested in the scriptures. He may have even have possessed a personal copy of the scroll of Isaiah. That would have been very costly. All of these things indicate that here was a man who was searching for the truth. He's ready for what God had planned for him. Is it not wonderful that God is concerned with individuals as well as nations? God sees individuals as well, or he sees individuals as well as communities and cities. Who would think of going to a desert place to speak about salvation with a complete stranger? But that is what God may have for us to do. Who has put the Lord in your path? You and I should be ready to go to whoever God brings along and to be prepared to speak as Philip was. So that brings us to consider our second point, be ready to impart God's word. So then, we read that the Spirit tells him to overtake the chariot. As Philip begins to run, he may have had to get past soldiers that were there protecting the Ethiopian from robbers on the road, which happened at the time. He had to get round to where the chariot was. And inside, there's a man that he must meet. As Philip reaches the chariot, he hears the man reading about Isaiah, the prophet. And he starts up a conversation with someone he has not met before. And for most of us, this would be very awkward. How do you witness to someone you've never met? This is where you simply walk up to a complete stranger and witness to them. Say you were on holiday. What do you say? One person suggests that you start with your name, your purpose for being there, and that you're a Christian, and say that you would like to share your faith with Christ with others. Even if they refuse you to listen to you, you've just spoken to them about the state of their soul, and the Holy Spirit can use that for his glory. Most people won't hear you. Maybe some will even walk away or ignore you. Or some may listen and share their faith, maybe, in the Lord with you as well. It's difficult, isn't it, to approach people directly. But we should be ready in some way to be a witness. It might be completely out of character for us and seem unnatural for some of you, but God will use you to be a witness if you are willing. After his resurrection, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So Philip said to the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. And the place in the scripture which you read was from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The Lord had directed this Ethiopian to a portion of scripture, and at the same time the Lord brings a Christian to sit next to this man to help him understand its meaning. This is how the Lord often does things. This eunuch was open to listen. He welcomed Philip. He could have so easily turned his roadside traveler away. So after Philip's question, asking if the eunuch understands, and he responds that he needs help, he goes on to his answer to say to Philip, "I ask of you, of whom does this prophet say this is? Of himself or some other man? Who is it that was treated with such injustice? Who was it that was silent before his accusers? Who was it that had his life cut short? And not for his own guilt, but for the guilt of the people of God." Now Philip speaks. He starts with the scripture in question, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." As a result of Philip's knowledge of God's word, he was able to answer the question. The Lord sent the Ethiopian his best, not because Philip was some expert, but because Philip knew the scriptures and was prepared through diligent study and thorough eagerness to serve his master. Philip explained that the greatest news in the world to this man's inquiring heart, Jesus was the suffering servant of Jehovah. Jesus was the one who underwent God's wrath for sinners. You and I have heard it so often, haven't we? It speaks about the suffering servant of the Lord further in Isaiah. God's wrath for sinners. Who, the Messiah, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our sins, and for his life was taken away, so that you and I, by turning from our sin and believing in his sacrifice for us, might have forgiveness and life with God. If we believe the good news of the gospel, do we make ourselves ready to pass it on to others who God brings into our lives, who God makes available for us to speak? In the previous part of the book here, in the passage, Simon the sorcerer had a closed heart. The Ethiopian eunuch has an open heart. Just like Lydia of Thyatira, who had her heart opened by the Lord. Well, then be ready then to enjoy God's blessing. In verses 36 and 37 of Acts 8, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" The eunuch had his questions answered. He repented, he believed, and was baptized, and became a follower of Jesus and a member of the church. The heart of this man was ripe for believing all that Philip had told him. In verse 38 to 40, we come to the end of this section. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, but Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What an amazing story. What an amazing story. The eunuch goes home full of joy. And no doubt will share that greatest news in the world to him with others. And Philip is carried away to continue his ministry, preaching in all the cities, it says, all the cities. We've been seeing here an explosion of the gospel, the spread of the good news of Jesus. People have been saved in faraway places. Ethiopia is far from Jerusalem. It's south of Egypt. And this man has come all the way to take part in the feasts, in the festivals, in the worship. And we read that in Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And that was the Ethiopian's experience. Far away, but brought near by this message of the blood of Christ. God can save a community, or he can save one person in the desert. Has this portion of the Word of God caused us to think more about the precious gift we have, the good news in the desert of this world? What can we do to help spread the message of salvation? What do we do in addition to praying for it? Are we giving our time and committing ourselves? That's the challenge for us all. The challenge for us all. The people who live round about us, lost, don't know, haven't got any knowledge, because the natural man knoweth not the things of God, but the Spirit reveals them to us. We need to cry that God would send his Spirit and would use us as obedient servants to faithfully go out, and the things that we've meditated upon are our hearts, the good news of salvation and the cleansing from sin and the hope of eternal life, all through Jesus Christ, who Paul said, don't want to know anything else among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a challenge for us all.